Brilliant. Thanks, David. And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the first safety hour of the year. I hope you all had a lovely break and a great start to the new year. Today's safety hour will be hosted by both myself and Becky Lumlock. And what we'd like to do is take you through three core areas of focus. So most of you should have by now received our stand down brief. So we're going to use today's safety hour as an opportunity to summarise the stand down brief and go through any questions you may have in advance of going through the packs with your teams. We're also going to take a look back at some of the Christmas work. So Becky will talk us through how the last week or so has been on the route. And then the third area we're going to do is talk a little bit about how we can together maintain a tidy railway. Again, tidy railway is a concept that we've had for some time now, but as we see outside, it's not necessarily as tidy as it can be. So Becky's going to talk to us a little bit about what more we could do to focus on a tidy railway. All of this, of course, is an opportunity of how we can reduce harm to our teams. And we know historically over the winter periods and when we return back to work, after the new year, that our accident numbers do go up. In both cases, both in terms of minor accidents and in regards to the more serious accidents. So this really is an opportunity for us to start the year as we mean to go on and really pause and take a look at what can we do right at the beginning of the year to reduce harm to our teams. So firstly, I'd now like to hand over to Becky, and Becky's going to talk through how we got on over Christmas. Becky?
Great, thanks Pretty. So just to reiterate what Pretty said, Happy New Year to everybody. Thanks very much for joining the call. I hope everybody had a great Christmas. And firstly, to say a big thank you to those who were working, as some of us were probably tucking into turkey dinners. There are a lot of people out there working actually over the Christmas New Year period. So many, many thanks to those people who were doing that. And to those who weren't working, I hope you had a good rest and good time with friends and family and so on. So just to summarise the Christmas works, it actually went incredibly well. You know, the work was all completed safely, most importantly, and as planned, on time, and actually some of it was actually handed back early as well, so, and with no staff accidents reported. So that's, you know, 16,000 hours of work done over the Christmas New Year period. You know, that's no mean feat. In fact, we were in a joint executive meeting this morning and South West Change congratulated us on that actually, because that's a really, really big achievement. So well done to everybody involved. So there were two major possessions on the Wessex route over the period, and I'll just touch on them briefly. One was the Waterloo capacity works, and the second one was a new underbridge being replaced actually at Broad Street in the village of Bramley near Basingstoke. So for the Waterloo capacity works, this work was really critical actually for the major works that are going to be done this coming August. And the main work streams that took place were installing some points at Queenstown Road. There was also the Tamil upgrade works, which are really critical in the Waterloo and Clapham relay rooms. Various changes to the interlocking as well, traction power cabling changes, and the commissioning of banner repeaters for some signals as well. So as I say, that was all completed as planned, so great assets there. And then the Broad Street Bridge near Bramley on the Reading to Basingstoke line there. So this was essentially the replacement of a bridge that was 150 years old and had been monitored for some time because there were concerns about its integrity. And what the team managed to do in 48 hours was essentially demolish the old bridge and put a brand new one in and commission it all, as I say, within 48 hours over sort of Christmas Eve through to Boxing Day. So as you probably know, this line doesn't affect South West Trains directly, but we have a lot of freight going over there, as well as Great Western Railway and cross country. So it was really critical to us to be able to hand that back on time, which is what the team managed to do. I personally went out to Waterloo International Terminal actually on the 28th with Mark Kahn and others. He was very impressed with the work that was going on there. In the old international terminal there, some of the work includes hydro demolition of the old terminal. So we were able to see that work site and so on, as well as track laying, for the platforms that will be recommissioned, platforms 20 to 24 there. And that's really critical for the August blockade as well, because they're going to be temporarily reopened there in the summer to help us when we're shutting down platforms 1 to 9. So, you know, overall, really, really good piece of work done. And most importantly, everybody kept safe. So that was really, really fantastic effort. So thanks to all involved. Just wonder if I pause at this point, whether there's anybody who wants to sort of reflect or talk on any of their the experiences of you know, working over Christmas, or the successful work that's been done over Christmas and New Year at all.
So, David, can you open up the lines for questions, please?
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please key star, then 1 on your telephone, record your name and press the hash key. If you then decide to withdraw your question, simply key star 2. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you will be advised when to ask your question. All other lines will remain on listen only. Just to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please key star, then 1 on your telephone, record your name after the tone, and press the hash key.
Thanks, David. And whilst you guys are thinking about the success story that you wish to share, I thought that might be useful to share what I did over Christmas. So, as Becky said, some of us were working, and I had the pleasure of being on call on Christmas Day. Reiterating Becky's point, I rang control a number of times just to check to see how things were going on, because I was surprised at not receiving any calls, which was fantastic news, and reiterating the message that the works went through successfully, which is brilliant. I think control was slightly shocked, as they were possibly trying to enjoy some of their Christmas with my continuous calls. But I did think, oh, it's really quiet, so it was just meant no news certainly was good news for us, which was brilliant. So that was my Christmas. I just thought I'd share that whilst we get people thinking about their stories.
Becky, I'll just share around my team. It's Sam McCarthy here. So at Waterloo Station on New Year's Eve, as many of you know, it's extremely busy. If anybody's saw it on the TV, you can see the crowds of people watching the fireworks. A lot of those come back through the station. And there's some meticulous planning that goes in to make sure we can safely move those crowds through. That includes everything from extra security staff through to queuing systems and things like that. And we completed that with that incident. So a big thank you for me for the Waterloo team that were involved in that, because I think that's a really good success, and it's one that we often don't talk about because it passes without incident. So well done, guys.
Brilliant. Thanks, Sam.
And currently we have one. Sorry. Currently we have one incoming question, which is from the line of.
Sure, sir.
Please go ahead.
Hi there. Yes, it's more feedback than a question. I think just to kind of build on what was described as very successful works at Christmas, the Temel works and the interlocking works in particular. We have very limited opportunities to do that, and the benefit of having successfully completed those is not needing effectively at emergency notice or very short notice to seek alternative possessions, which would inevitably lead to displacement, further short-term planning and disruption to maintenance and project colleagues by trying to move their works around. So that's an additional sort of benefit, as well as delivering the outputs we wanted. We're also, you know, one of the risks was that we would under-deliver and consequently disrupt colleagues' plans as we tried to replan any missed work. So we've avoided that risk, which is really great. And we're now able to focus on commissioning at Easter and also more works in August, which will be of much greater significance, complexity and obviously duration. And one of our big risks we've been discussing is about station crowding and how we'll manage people at the stations, which are going to be very heavily used during those August works. So we now start to plan in earnest for those. and the team who are on the call will hear much more about those over the coming months, what our plans are and how they'll affect all of us. So just want to look out for it in the coming weeks and months.
Brilliant. Thanks, Stuart.
And currently we do not have questions in the queue, so I wanted to remind everybody, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone.
Okay, brilliant. Thanks, David. There is an opportunity at the end of the safety hour for Q&A, so don't feel if you haven't had a chance to share some feedback or ask a question now that you've missed the opportunity. But, after Becky and I have run through the stand-down brief and the Tidy Railway programme, we will open the lines up again. So just you'll have a bit more time to get your thinking caps on. So I'm going to move on to the second item on the safety hour, and that is the Back to Work Start Safe stand down brief. So all of you should have by now received the stand down brief, and that is an opportunity for you to talk that through with your teams over the next couple of weeks. What Becky and I would like to do is just summarise the stand down brief. I already had a member of the team, one of the section managers, who already delivered the stand down brief to his team, which is great news. They did it this morning. So, AD, don't mean to embarrass you on the call, but if you do have any feedback on how it went with your team, please feel free to share that with us as well. But well done on already delivering the brief this morning. So I'm going to hand over to Becky. She's going to talk to you about the purpose of the stand-down brief, and again, just talk a little bit more about the successes over the last year. So Becky, I'll hand over to you.
Great, thanks, Pretty. Yeah, I mean, one of the reasons we really wanted to do this touches on a point that Pretty made earlier. We do see an increase in accidents over winter time and over the Christmas break kind of traditionally as well. And we really want to make sure we're setting ourselves up for success starting 2017, you know, ideally incident-free really, to put our best efforts into starting 2017 safely. And it's interesting just looking back at the statistics that over winter time, we tend to have about 20 to 25% more accidents, actually, so it is quite a marked increase. And I think an element of that is when we all come back from holidays, it's about getting back into the work mode, getting switched on and being aware of our fellow staff and the environment in which we're working, and just kind of getting switched on and getting back into work mode and just concentrating on keeping ourselves and the people around us safe. So that was really what we're trying to do, is kind of get everybody to kind of refocus really. And the idea is, as Pretty's alluded to get all line managers to hold the stand down brief, which we've provided you with the information of here, and to do that by the 13th of January, so next week please. And obviously very helpful to kind of make sure we all log attendance on the register and the Safety Hour app to that end. So just a couple of things, we're not going to go through all the slides, but just a couple of things I draw out of the slide pack which has been sent around. We've had some great successes, you know, if you reflect on 2016. The incidence of serious harm has decreased. We've had actually three fewer accidents in 2016. We had 24 in last year compared to 27 the previous year. So we are on an improving trend. Of course, that's too many. Any is too many, but you know, we are on an improving trend, which we hope to continue obviously this year. And on close calls, you know, in the whole of 2016, you spotted and reported nearly 3,000 of them, which is fantastic. We have got more to do, as you know, because given the number of accidents we're seeing, we should be getting more close calls than that, if you look at sort of incident triangles and so on. And I just urge everybody this year really to try and sort of concentrate on behavioural close calls as well. They're the ones that we really don't get very many on, and they're just as important as the kind of situational or location type kind of close calls as well. But on close calls, we closed out 80% of them within 90 days before they could cause harm to other people and so on. So, you know, that's good, but we've obviously got kind of more to do on that. And I'll talk in a few minutes about the Tidy Railway and how potentially that could help with that. The other thing is the safety hour, like we are here and now. 65% of people in Wessex talked about safety every week. So, you know, that's really fantastic, but it also unfortunately means 35% on average didn't. So, you know, we all need to be making sure that we do carve out time in our working week to talk about safety. And very encouraged by the number of people on this call today, actually. So that's a great start for us for 2017. So thanks for all the efforts in 2016, and let's stay switched on for this coming year as well. Priti, can I hand over to you to chat a bit about the common causes of the accidents that we traditionally have?
Yep, absolutely. So this isn't going to be a surprise to many of you. We talk about this on a regular basis through previous safety hours and in our safety workshops. But most of our accidents, in fact, 85% of our accidents are caused by three common areas. And those three common areas are slip, trips and falls, manual handling and driving related incidents. These haven't changed, and these continue to crop up even last year, the previous year, and they continue to be our most common causes of accidents. So where do we tend to have most of our slip, trips and falls? So most of our slip, trips and falls tend to happen in the area that should be the safest, and that's the cess. And I think you've probably heard me say this a number of times, both myself and Becky say that the cess should be our safest area. But unfortunately, the cess tends to be an area where we also have a lot of unsafe conditions. And that's where we experience most of our slip, trips and fall injuries. Manual handling, and we are still carrying pieces of kit which are well above the recommended guidance. And we have access areas which are not suitable for those pieces of kit. Or we're just not using enough people to carry items which may require two people or four people. So we're continuing seeing manual handling, generally around strained back, or a manual handling incident resulting in a slip, trip and fall. And then the third area is driving-related incidents. So the driving-related incidents, we don't have as many as slip, trips or falls or manual handling incidents. However, the severity of those could be far greater. So when we talk about a riddle reportable or something that is at high speed, the severity of the driving related could be far greater. And in fact, we know that the majority of the national fatalities we've had with workforce has been as a result of driving. So that still counts as one of our top three. We do, however, still have lots of precursors to driving-related incidents. So precursors include things like speeding incidents. We're continuing to have speeding incidents over the last over a four-week period. We tend to have two or three speeding events recorded, and we still have incidents where we have individuals not wearing their seatbelt. So they're all our precursors to a potentially far more serious incident. So the focus really, in terms of looking forward to 2017, is really continuing to focus on those three areas, being really aware of the task at hand, being really aware of the hazards around that task and any potential risk, and also having the confidence to stop or to pause whilst you make adjustments, or to use things like the WorkSafe procedure if you're in any doubt, because a lot of these common features, they're not new. They're things that we all know, we all recognise, we all see, but they continue to cause harm to our teams. Other things we'd like you to do to try and mitigate against those common causes is continue to spot the precursors. So continue to use things like the close call reporting system, continue to use safety hour to report and spot things before they cause the harm. So Becky mentioned earlier that 24 serious incidents is still too many. So what can we do before we get to those serious incidents? And things like close calls, things like WorkSafe procedure, things like CIRUS are all precursors to try and stop us from being harmed in the first place. So again, when you do your stand down briefs with your teams, it's about trying to have proactive safety management as opposed to instigating investigation after you have an incident. Some of the other things really is about just challenging and speaking up. At the last safety workshop, we talked about speaking up and challenge for near misses. a near miss incident. But it's the same in all activities that we do, because things can be adjusted. If we take a few more minutes to pause to make a job safe, then do so. That would be a lot quicker than having to stop the job after an incident occurs or somebody is harmed. So again, there's some key points in this stand down brief, and it's not exhaustive. There may be other things that you and your team think of that you could do when you talk through the stand down brief. So again, encourage those. The key and the priority really is to stop our teams from being harmed. So there's lots of ideas, there's lots of things, and it's about how can we all work together as a team to stop our teams from being hurt this year. So that is a summary of the stand down brief. So use it to go through some of your successes. Becky's highlighted some route successes. They're doing some really, really great things. There may be some local things. Within your brief, there's an opportunity to do a team discussion to talk about the local successes. But also then, the key then is what can we do to continue on those successes and continue to reduce workforce safety. So that's a summary of the stand down brief. What we're going to do now is summarise the Tidy Railway Initiative. So I'll hand back now to Becky.
Great, thanks Pretty. So Tidy Railway, I think this is something that has, you know, had concerted efforts sort of in the past. We're really trying to sort of reinvigorate that for 2017, if you like, relaunch the Tidy Railway. And why are we doing that? I mean, as those of you who go on the chat will see, there's actually quite a lot of debris out there. And if I look at the fact that 40% of the accidents that we have that hurt people are actually due to slips, trips and falls, and as Pretty said, some of that is around the set area and so on. The idea really is that if all of us, every time we go onto the railway, pick up at least one piece of railway debris, if it's safe to do so, what a difference that could make. Imagine the difference if everybody did that each time they went out. And you don't have to restrict yourself to just one piece of debris, you know, see how many we can do. But in order to make sure you've got the infrastructure in place to be able to do that, we've ordered 300 of these Womble bags, which will, you know, people can then take out onto the railway to be able to put the pieces of railway debris into. And also we've now got a map of where all the skips are on the Wessex route, which is also available and in the pack actually, so that you can see where it's possible to kind of dispose of that railway debris. I guess the other advantage of trying to sort of relaunch this as well is each time you find a piece of railway debris, you can raise a close call on it. And if you're able to remove the railway debris safely, you can also automatically close out that close call at the same time. And I think overall it hopefully should help us with the slips, trips and falls that we do have on the railway, but also, you know, give us all a sense of pride in having a very tidy railway there, you know, a pride in our workplace and so on as well. I think it'd be amazing how much of a difference we can each make if we each kind of try and make a difference by maintaining the tidy railway. So at that point, that's actually most of the material that we plan to kind of go through, actually. So we'd like to invite if there's any questions or comments on the stand-down brief or on anything that Pretty and I have spoken about here today.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now continue. If you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone, record your name after the tone, and press the hash key. And we have one incoming question, which is from the line.
Mark Johnson.
Please go ahead.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. Couple of things. I've already started briefing my guys because the rest days and I won't see them. And I've been asked to raise a point from them and also from myself. The close call system, I think, is fundamentally sound. It's just the way it's being used. And the reason why I say that is that the last four close calls I've had have been stuff that somebody could have closed, repaired and closed, and they haven't. They've walked away and left it for somebody else to do. And as Becky alluded to there, the behavioural one is the real sticking claw for Basingstoke S&T at the moment. We have raised 5 behavioural close calls.
Yeah.
2 were closed within hours with no feedback, no information at all. I have 2 that are outstanding over 90 days. And these are against signalmen who, in our opinion, were behaving unsafely.
Yeah.
In the same way that what happened at List just before Christmas, the close call.
Yeah.
We all feel that there is no feedback from this close call system. It's fundamentally flawed the way it's being managed.
Okay, so that's a really good feedback, Mark. As I take each of your comments in turn, so the conditions, if I go for the unsafe conditions walking away, I completely agree with you. When we go through some of the unsafe conditions and we look at them, some of them are absolutely right, they're a hazard, but they're small hazards which you could effectively rectify and close. And that's something that we want to continue to reiterate that message. So what I can do is for the period 10 safety cascade, I can reiterate that. I just keep sharing that message that where you can, because effectively you're then sending out another team to go out to rectify something which could have, in the meantime, caused harm. So the whole concept of this is about stopping somebody from being harmed. So we can do that. And then the other behavioural close call ones, with the signaller one, can you send me the close call number so I can look at it in a bit more detail? The feedback should come directly from the responsible manager. Just to provide updates, because there's a section in the close call system that allows you to provide an update that goes automatically back to the reporter. The reporter does have to provide a telephone number. But also, we've got a member of my team who should be providing feedback every 2 weeks to individuals. We had a bit of a gap while we have a change in people. So we had, if you remember, Brooke Martin used to provide feedback on a regular basis. Yeah, so that's now changed. So Sophia, she's now picked that up. So she's now going to be specifically providing feedback every 2 weeks to individuals with open calls. But also you should be getting feedback from the responsible manager, so the person that's responsible for closing them. So if they're the signaler ones, of course, they're alarms. But I am interested to know a bit more detail about those behavioural ones. I can follow those up for you, Mark.
Well, I've already sent Dean Moss an email and a letter, a copy to Tracy and Ian, because I've discussed it with all 3 of them, discussed it with the IMDM team brief just before Christmas.
Right, okay.
The behaviour in question is still going on, and it's still happening, and it's putting my men at danger, and I'm really, really unhappy.
Yes. So can you send that to myself? I know you followed it with Dean, but if I and Ivan can help, and I don't know the details, but what we don't want is unsafe behaviour happening right now. So I can follow that up straight away for you, Mark, as well.
Well, pretty honestly, in the last safety brief, Tracy has followed it up by issuing 8 details.
Yeah.
That came from my talk with Tracy. This is exactly what we're talking about. Their own rules.
Right, okay.
Or their impression of the rule book.
Okay, so we just need to... Okay, I need to spend a bit more time to understand it so I can help.
And my last point, and it's not a criticism, it's of something I've raised with you and Tracy before, that when we do the period safety cascades...
Yeah.
Let's have some more good news about people who do challenge, people who do speak up.
Yeah.
You know, because all we seem to do on these safety cascades just lately is beating people up and trying to look for people to blame for what's gone wrong.
Yeah, and Mark, that's exactly why today's safety hour we wanted to make sure we had successes, and in the stand-down brief there's a section to talk specifically about successes. But you're completely right, because there's lots of good things that our teams are doing. And what we tend to do, you're right, we focus on the things that cause harm or are a risk. But we need to have more of a balance. So, no, absolutely right. I hope start as we need to go on this year. So first safety hour, we've added some successive, and let's get some more in for the safety cascades as well, so we're doing it on a periodic basis. But no, we've definitely started, we have picked up on your feedback, which, and you're absolutely right, Mark, because we're doing a good job.
We are, I agree with you, but yeah. what I'm going to say, and I know Becky's listening, is this is actually affecting the morale of the men.
Right, okay.
Not just in this depot, throughout the DUs.
Yeah. Mark, I'd like to say thank you to you for actually raising all these. You know, you are an example of doing the sort of intervention that we absolutely need. And yeah. And I think your first comments about close calls, it's quite demoralising when you raise close calls if they're not then closed out and so on. And if we want people to be proactively raising close calls, if people don't hear back, then you know, how can you encourage people to be raising them more and more? So I think what you're saying is absolutely right. On this unsafe behaviour that Pretty's going to look into in a bit more detail, and Ivan's here with me as well. Pretty, do let me know the outcome of that, will you? And,
yeah.
And escalate to me as necessary, because as you said, if there's unsafe behaviour that's happening now, we need to stop it sort of straight away. Absolutely. But Mark, thank you for sharing your thoughts. They're very points very well taken.
Thank you.
And Mark, it's Ivan, and this is really to everyone. Really, if we want to know, we need to know about the good stuff, don't we, to get in the safety cascade. So people need to raise that up the chain or direct to myself or Tracy for the safety cascade. So we need to hear about that, don't we? Oh, it sounds like Mark's been cut out now. But yeah, so that's a call to everyone, really. We want to hear about the good stuff that's been going on.
Thanks, Ivan.
Sorry, we have one more incoming question.
Thank you.
The name was not recorded, so who pressed star one, the line is now open.
Hopefully that's Aidy Levin.
Hi, Aidy.
Hello, pretty okay. Right, so you've got the two worst callers on there then, me and Mark Johnson, so it could be longer than an hour. Okay, my concern is with a close call, it's still a mix-up of misinformation. For me, I seem to get the brunt of most of the close calls coming from the off-track team, and obviously now moved into the inner part of it. I still have 80 open at the moment, with a lot of information moved. Obviously, since Tom has now moved on, and obviously we took the mantra of the inner role, we're trying to make some great strides in getting the work done. We seem to find that we had a few that were over a year old, possibly a little bit longer, and then all of a sudden we had what seemed like a conspiracy where a bundle of them appeared. If you look through the list, there's hardly any information given on to any of the close calls. We still don't have the photographs, and I'm still loathed to do this because I end up chasing consistently every day. I'm trying to find all the information that should be provided to me. In the world that we live in at the moment, and it's a very, very computer-generated industry, again, I ask the question, why is the system not updated that I can have the photographs and all the information available to me? I mean, one of the close calls I got, which was for Bramley, it said, this is how the close call works. It said, 60 metres south of Bramley Station, vegetation needs cutting back and clearing. Now, that's okay if you know, obviously, your compass. But that information shouldn't get through. That shouldn't be allowed to be generated as a close call. And people should be asking for more specific information. Myself and my colleagues out there, obviously, we find it very difficult obviously to address this issue because the poor people that sit in the close call system, they don't know either, some of it. Mm-hmm. So we should have someone that knows to ask for the ELR, the correct mileage. When signals or location cases are faulted, I don't know the location numbers. For them, we work for ELRs and mileages. S&T work for location numbers. Or when signals come through, I've then got to find all the information, go back through, ask for photographs, which I find very tedious nowadays. And I think in order to help me do my job, we should be asking for this to be looked at again. It's not saying that I don't ask all the time. And then we've also got close calls that should be false. We shouldn't get raised as a close call, should get raised as a fault. We end up with a mix match of some information And the ones that I'll speak about, like access gates or fences where there's breaches in it, to the letter, to the standard, for the fencing standards, they have to be manned, and people just walk off and leave them. So we have the chance of, obviously, incursion, whether it be animal, children, adult, youth, whatever. So, you know, it's, again, making sure that we have all the right information captured to make sure, and I know when we do the safety workshops, we do ask for this, but it's still getting through. If you look at the list of my close calls at the moment, it's driving me insane. Not that I'm already insane already.
Hey, thanks. Arthur, Pretty, can I just add something to that?
Yeah.
I think I have a slightly different perspective on it, which I totally understand what you're saying about that information is useful. But we do need to remember that not everybody raising a close call will have that information. And what I would not want to do is discourage people from not close calling because they don't know the mileage or they don't know what the standard is. So, you know, that's great if you're a track worker and you know exactly where you are. If you're a mere accountant sitting in an office and you've seen a broken down fence from a train, the best you can do is provide a description of where that is. Because you wouldn't
know what bit of... That one I'll give you. That one from a train window, yes, of course. And that one we can't find the information. But then that should go to control for the mom to go there to visit the site to get those proper information. What we're asking is we're asking for the impossible sometimes. And the impossible is if you are on a train and you're trying to give a specific mileage, I understand that one. But that's not how this should work. That's what we should be asking for. The boys on the ground and boots on ballast when everyone goes out, is that's when it should be picked up. Speculation, I mean, the ones on the trains, I've had one where there was a shed and it said just coming in or just coming out of Farnborough Station, shed is on the embankment. I mean, we have to send a team out there to walk a mile in each way. They're the ones that where you lose productivity and you lose time over that. I'm not complaining for that. What I'm saying is capturing the right information makes the job simpler for us.
Yeah, and it's a good point. I have some good news in terms of the system, which and I know you're not alone in regards to the photos particularly, because currently the only way to obtain the photos, although they're in the system, is to request them from the close call reporting team nationally, and then they forward it over. But again, it adds extra time into the process. But the close call system itself is going to be merged with a new platform, which is a platform that we already use, and it's being upgraded in April, May this year. And the new software will allow you to obtain the photos. So it's taken a lot longer than we would have wanted, and we're not the only route that has been requesting this for a number of months now. But the whole purpose of the platform is that there was some platform upgrades. So this used to be the old SMIS. SMIS is being updated, and the close call system is being integrated into SMIS. So it's being done in a number of phases, and the close call phase will be in spring this year. And so that will help with obtaining the details. What will also happen in the SMIS database is that currently the close call system allows you to do lots of free form text and free form for locations. The SMIS system and the new system is a little bit more restrictive, so you have some drop downs and you'll be able to do some more location specific, but I believe there's still an option for free form if a location isn't available, but that should help to have fewer incidents, because what we don't want to do is discourage close call reports either. So we want, you know, we still want people to flag them up whilst on a train or flag them up when they're still unfamiliar with their location. But then we need to make sure we still have specific information for you guys as responsible managers to do that. But the system is being updated. Again, it's taken us a lot longer than we would have liked. But that is a great benefit when that comes in.
Are you adding geotagging to that then?
I don't know the details. I don't know how involved August and the team are going to be involved with the software. But I do know that it's going to allow us to have a lot more specific details that we have when we report an accident. So it's almost treating it with that level of rigor.
Sorry to interrupt. Can I just add in? Adi, listen, thanks for raising this. I'm sure it must be very tedious and frustrating, especially when you get some of the examples that you've given us in terms of where do you start in trying to resolve some of these close calls. I mean, pretty, it's good to hear that the system's being upgraded and so on. Could you possibly take away an action to go back to Adi about, is geotagging going to be a part of that?
Yeah.
But also, I think I've just been, as you've been talking, looking at the actual close call report. And as you say, there is a place, obviously, to put the incident location, and obviously that's going to be less free-form, so to try and pin people down about where it was. But on the incident behaviour description, for example, we don't even say, please give as much detailed information as you can to assist those in closing it out. And I think that would be a useful add-on, either to the new system or our existing one, to just remind people that actually quite a lot of detail is required if people are going to promptly try and close these close calls out. And I guess, so it would be helpful if we can just get a bit more detail about what the upgraded system is like, or whether in the meantime, because that's still 4 months away, we can upgrade the existing one from the point of view of sort of reminding people to put more information in there. And I think it's also duty-bound on all of us as we're raising these close calls to listen to what AD said and think about the people who have to close these out and actually ourselves make sure we put enough information in there to enable the prompt, you know, close out and people to know where the problem is that they're trying to have to resolve.
Thanks, Becky.
There's one more thing that was on that, please. At the moment, I'm finding it difficult to close some of these actions as well because they sit under the felt of mine. You'll see a bunch of emails this morning. It's not for the want of trying, but under the old Woking DU, obviously still sit as the responsible manager for Woking and not for the inner DU. I also have an issue with the fact that because we host the outer area, a lot of mine get lost. I go to Carl, and I've got Carl Battenham back, you know, which is quite favourable. So Mr. Dunkley down at East Lee sees them and sees that there are, and we've got to get them. So it's about having that mapped correctly as well, so that we get them, so that we don't miss them in the time period. So they could come through, and then one we got batted back to us today, which was I think 6th or the 8th of December, and we're only getting it today.
Okay. Yeah, that's odd. I'll have a look at that as well, because we updated all the mileages in the system, so there should be the new inner and outer areas. So if there's any errors with that, I can pick that up as well, Adi.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, if I open my close call centre today, I've got one close call. If I get the spreadsheet that's sent, because I'm getting two sets of emails sent now, I've now got the close calls coming from close calls, and I've got 84 in one and none in the other one, so...
Yeah, it's really strange. Well, I'll have a look at that, Adi, and have make sure that your mileage is set up for you are correct in the system. I can do that.
No, it's just while I was on the phone, that's all.
Adi, can I ask you a question?
Of course.
How did you get on this morning with your team brief?
I'm
a stand down.
Like everything, what we did is we got the first day back, so we've got a full complimentary team. And we got them in a room, and we sit down and we went through all the basics with them. So what we asked them to do is go out, check all the vans, make sure that they had enough screen wash, they've got enough water in the vans, check all the tyre treads. We went through all their behaviours. I asked them if they needed some additional PPE. And we do like an open set of conversations, and then we ask them, you know, we went through what we'd done in the previous stand-down briefs, how important these are. And obviously just to make sure that everyone obviously is up to speed with all the information really that we provide them with. We've got two additional staff members that started today come from a contracting background. So it was nice to have them included and let them meet the team and see how we do this, because we do this on a weekly basis.
Yeah, brilliant. That sounds good. Thanks, Adi.
No problem.
David, any more questions?
Yes, we have three incoming questions, and next is from the line of
Chris Brown.
Please go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, it's Pretty. It's in regards to what Mark was going on earlier, in regards to the signalers, and we had another incident after this station with Neil Barron taking a line blockage again. This happened about 3 days after.
Yeah, pretty.
You were advised, but we've had no details back of what has been happening.
Okay, so Mark's going to send me the details, so then Ivan and I can take that away and have a look at it, and we'll look at that as a matter of urgency this week, just so we can follow it up. And was it with the same signal box?
Yes, it was the same signal box. It was on a Paul Gatchell spoke to you on Friday about this. Friday before Christmas. It was a couple of days after the incident at List Station. It was the same signal box.
Yeah.
Different team leader, but obviously two incidences that close to each other.
Yeah.
We did have other work planned to do treadles, and we said no, the signalers, we're not going to trust the signalers to and guys to go out on the trackers at the same time to do that kind of work, so we suspended that job for the time being.
Right, okay. No, thanks, Chris.
Just need some feedback as to what's going on, really.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So we've got an action. So Mark's going to send me the note across, and I'll follow that straight away with the ops team, and then I can have some feedback for you.
Thank you.
That's okay. Thanks, Chris.
It's Ivan. Just to follow up from that, I sent out an email to most of the senior team about this is around training section and giving line blockages with a training section and the rule book that applies to that, and that we've had two mistakes with that, and I think there was a plan to withdraw line blockages with trains in section, but they want to carry out we need to carry out a risk assessment of that so that we don't get unintended consequences from that, in the fact that line blockages won't be possible in certain areas because there's always a train in the section past the work site, as it were. So we're just following through with that, with the ops team going through that at the moment. For example, in the Yeovil area, it would mean dropping back down to red zone for carrying out basic visual inspections, etc. So we're going through in a controlled fashion, looking at that rule book item and whether we want to carry on anywhere carrying out line blockages with a train in section, the train being in section past the line blockage, as it were. However, there's been two mistakes made, and so we need to have due cognizance of that. So that's what, at the moment, there is a consideration for stopping line blockage with a train in section. That's where we're at the moment, but we didn't want to do a knee-jerk reaction that has unintended consequences, and that's why it's being worked through at present with the operations team and the delivery unit teams as well. So, but we need to give you specific feedback on your specific items.
Mm.
Okay.
Thanks, Ivan. David, any more?
Yes, we have two incoming questions,
okay.
And the next is from the line of...
Chris Haynes.
Please proceed.
Hi there, Faye. Yeah, it's Chris Haynes here. It was just a quick question from me, so I'll not take up too much time. Looking at the stand down brief and the stuff we spoke about,
yeah.
Did we actually get hold of these Womble bags?
Ah, Ivan, I will need your help on how you're going to distribute the Womble bags to the teams, please.
Yeah, right. So we've ordered 300, and that's 100 per DU and 100 for in the Basie Stoke Rock, if you like. So that I believe 100 has arrived already at the Rock, and they will be distributed. I know that, for example, Clapham already had some, and I think there's already some from previous lives, as it were. easily, but we're distributing them as we speak. But I've chased up the supply because the supply wasn't going to come through, so we've got some early response because we knew we would be launching this week. And I believe we're just tracking down the 100 that have arrived at the Rock at the moment. So we're distributing them as quickly as we can. A Womble bag, for those who don't know, is, I would call it an orange paperboy bag. Basically goes over your shoulder and is just one method of collecting the pandrel clip or the screw or the, you know, if it's safe to do so. And taking it away with you. Another thing you could see is like an orange lookout bag, if you like, a bit bigger than a lookout bag, but that's what they're there for. I think some people have used them previously, and we're distributing them as soon as they come in. So, of course, if you've got a vehicle or whatever, and that stuff could go into the vehicle to get to the skips in the depots or whatever. We're also introducing another skip in the Rock as well for the office-based staff there that can leave their the stuff that they've selected there. I think it makes a real difference actually, because it's a little bit like a journey of 1,000 miles that started with a first step. As Becky said, if we all take just one piece, just imagine how, I mean, there's 1,200 of us. If we all took away one piece next week, that's 1,200 bits of debris that aren't on the track anymore next week. So, you know, that's what it's all about, really. And actually forcing yourself to say, oh, I've walked past that clip, or I've walked past that for the last couple of weeks. I'm actually going to pick it up, because it's the clips and the small stuff that people tread on that twist their ankle or whatever. So that's what it's all about. So I'm really pleased you're embracing it. But we'll make sure you get the bags. We're distributing it through the Rock and to the 2DUs. We'll get them to you as soon as we can. Okay.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Ivan.
Thanks for that, Ivan. It's obviously Wessex people, but it's also other people who work on Wessex Railway. So I've liaised with infrastructure projects to ensure that they're fully signed on to maintaining the tidy railway as well. So they'll be doing their part as well before and during and after their work.
I know Becky said it earlier, but sort of made his point. Don't forget, when you pick it up in your close call, it's to close it out, so we don't end up with 1,200 close calls going to 80 later for bits of scrap that wouldn't run.
Thanks, Sam. David, I think we had another question on the line.
Yes, we have a last question now, and it is from the line of...
Brian Scott.
Please go ahead.
Becky, pretty good afternoon. Just a really simple admin question, really. You've done an excellent job of summarising this stand-down brief. For office-based staff, are you expecting us to further summarise that? Because I'm struggling with understanding how I'm going to add to what you've already produced. Is this going to class as a brief for those? I've encouraged all of my team to be on the call today for that exact purpose, trying to be productive. Or am I going to have to sit down and try and add some more to it?
I think from my point of view, it's helpful that everybody in Wessex has some exposure to this, to the content of this presentation. If people are able to be on this call, then that's particularly helpful. It may be that in certain roles, it's actually helpful getting together as a team, because it's very directly relevant to all the work you do every day, which is why, particularly for frontline staff, we're very keen for it to be a separate safety stand down, you know, team talk, if you like. And you know, I think it's good that your team, being more office based, is absolutely familiar with the material that's in here. And in the interest of being lean, if people are on the call hearing about this, I think that's great.
Thank you very much. That's really helpful.
And right now we do not have questions in the queue.
Okay. In the in review of trying to at least finish, have a right time finish to this, I'm happy to say thank you. I'm sure Becky may want to say a few words as well in a minute. But just want to say thank you all for your participation today. Been really useful. I think we've had a really balanced safety hour. So we've had the first half hour with us, Becky and I, delivering presentational material, and the second half hour, really, really focused on lots of rich Q&A, which is brilliant. So thank you for that. Of course, if you do have any questions whilst you're undertaking your stand-down briefs over the next couple of weeks, feel free to contact myself anytime, anyone from the safety team. We're happy to help where we can. But if there are no further questions, I'm happy to end the call. So thank you all. Becky, do you want to say a quick thank you?
Thanks, Pretty. Just to mention, thanks very much to everybody for taking part. Please do log your attendance on the app. That would be very helpful. In particular, I'd like to thank people for the interaction and the participation, as Pretty said. It's always difficult to have the courage to speak on these calls, so I really appreciate people having done that. And there's some very good feedback in there that I think, Pretty, we can weave into other calls as well.
Yeah.
We'll build on for next time to, you know, continuously improve these calls and their usefulness, actually. And just lastly to say, please try and get behind this reinvigoration of the Tidy Railway. As Ivan said, I think we can make a real difference here by working together on this, and it'd be great to be able to sort of see what a difference Wessex can make on it and stand as a pillar for the other routes as well. Setting a great example. So thanks very much for your time.